we give you glory, Lord. God, we need your touch now more than ever before. Oh, God, loose every chain tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the wonderful name of Jesus. We serve a God that is able to loose every chain that the enemy has put upon us. I expect great things every time I come into the house of the Lord, wherever I am, because we serve a God that is great, and he's greatly to be praised. I don't believe we can have too high of expectations for any service that we come into. I believe we should expect the miraculous. I believe we should expect the supernatural. I believe every time we come through the door, we should expect God to do something that we never saw before. I'm reminded in the book of Mark, around the second chapter, when the man could not get in because the door was blocked, and they took him up in the roof, took him up and lifted him down through the roof. And around the 12th verse, they began to look around, and the Bible said they were astonished, saying that we never saw it like this before. I believe every church service, we ought to expect to see something we've never seen before. Oh, come on, let's love them tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Cliff, for joining us. So good that Brother Darren can come. Brother Darren has been in Asia since last Friday. He's been ministering very hard in Indonesia. We put him to a lot of work there, but he has been a great blessing to Jakarta, and we're thankful for that. And Brother Amin's very blessed having him. And but we are very blessed in Singapore to have Brother Darren come. And we've been blessed so many times. And today, once again, we have the ministry of God's word. Why don't you put your hands together? Welcome Brother Darren Adams as he comes to bring God's word.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So good to be with all of you. Wonderful people again, and always a pleasure to be back here in Singapore with my friends. As I said Wednesday night, my burden for you has just intensified exponentially over this past year, and I am so very happy to be here with all of you and to see all of you. It's truly my honor to be here amongst you and to just be a small part of what the Lord is doing amongst you in such a mighty and deep way. It truly is, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm so honored to be here, so honored to get to spend time with you wonderful people. And Singapore has become like a second home to me. And as soon as I land here, I feel totally at peace. I feel totally at home. So it's because of your hospitality, your kindness, and the love that the Lord has given me for you. So I just want to communicate that. I want to express that to you. I'm so glad my friend Cliff is here with me and was able to join me. Was it Thursday morning? Yes. How could I forget? It was Thursday morning at 6 a.m. that Cliff was knocking on the hotel door. So how could I forget that? That should just be ingrained in my memory, encrypted inside. Doorbell was ringing, and no, it really is good to have my good friend here, Brother Cliff. We've known each other for a long time, and I love him very much. He's such a good friend. He's a true friend. And, you know, Facebook has created this illusion that you can really have 5,000 friends, you know. And nobody has 5,000 friends. I just want to tell you that. If you think you do, call some of them in a time of need and ask them for help and assistance. Call some of them and ask them if you have to move. Can you help me move this weekend? And so you'll find out very quickly how many real friends you actually have. But if a person finds a few true friends in this life, you're a very blessed person, man or woman. You find a few true, authentic, valid friendships. And Brother Cliff is definitely one of those people in my life, as is your pastor, Brother Bobby. How many of you are thankful for your pastor? Wonderful man of God. And Sister Cynthia, what a great, incredible apostolic team they make in leadership. And I'm so glad to get to know them, to be their friend. And it is so good to be here. I want to encourage you, pray for your pastor. Pray every day for your pastor. I know many of you do, if not all of you. And I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost to continue to lift them up in prayer on a daily basis, because it is a tremendous weight that they bear in the spirit, emotionally, physically, psychologically, pastoring, and having a burden and a vision, not just for Singapore and a life community, but for this region of Asia as well. And it is something that is very serious and very deep. And I would encourage you to lift them up in prayer, because they're doing a wonderful work for the Lord. And I'm very thankful for our connection. And looking forward to what the Lord will do through that connection. I feel so good in my spirit tonight. I just want to thank you for your worship. Your worship always touches me. It truly does. And I feel like the Lord really wants to impart some things to us tonight. Not from man. You receive nothing of man that is really worth receiving. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to impart things of His Spirit into our spirit, into our minds. He wants to enlighten the eyes of our understanding in this house tonight. He wants to allow us to see Him in a way possibly some of us have never seen Him before. To experience Him and see something in His Word we've not seen. And I'm very thankful for that, because I feel that undercurrent in the Holy Ghost. And I'm so indebted to what I feel in the sanctuary of the Most High tonight. I want to encourage you, and I want to just speak to you for a moment, if that's okay. I know this is a Friday night. You guys don't generally have services on a Friday night, so it's more of a casual setting, and that's fine. So I just want to just express things that the Lord has placed on my heart from my friends here at Alive Community. And I want to reiterate something that I felt to share with you Wednesday, because the burden of it has not been lifted. And in prayer this morning and at noon, I just could not, I could not get away from it. The burden of it has not been lifted, which means the Lord is still wanting to do something in this concerning what I'm about to share with you. I truly feel like the Lord wants to give some very specific direction to some of you. I feel like some of you have come, as I said, Wednesday night, and maybe if you weren't here, you're hearing this for the first time. But I feel like some of you, the pathway of your life has taken you to a point and a junction where there is a divergence and a multiplicity of pathways that are opened up before you. In other words, you have come to a place where you could make many choices. You can make many decisions. You could take many places and engage in many ventures. And you want to have perfect clarity. You're really seeking the Lord for this. You're seeking the Lord for clarity in which path He would have you to take. Now, I want to warn you, the will of God does not always come into alignment with conventional wisdom. Sometimes the will of God and the pathway that the Lord Jesus has set before you defies conventional wisdom. So bear that in mind. It's not always going to be the pathway that is the most rational necessarily. Oftentimes it is, and that's fine. But it is not always the most rational path that it is the absolute will of God. It does not always mean that. They're not always correlated. But I feel like there are some of you that really want specific direction, and the Lord is going to give it to you. But I do not feel released from sharing that, because there's still a cloud on some of you. You've not received that perfect clarity in which pathway to take. I want to share some things with you concerning that briefly in the opening moments of our time together tonight. The Lord is aligning things in the spirit realm in Singapore. The Lord has revealed this to me through prayer for you and meditation on His Word. The Lord is aligning things in the spirit, setting things in array. I shared this with some of the people at lunch yesterday. The Hebrew word for array is arak. A-R-A-K. And the Lord is setting things in array before the primary engagement takes place. Things have to be aligned. In order for Israel to do warfare, they had to be in sync with the instruction from the Lord. They had to be where the Lord told them to be. The battle was set in array. Troops were in alignment. Things were stacked up. put in order, in sequence that the Lord would have them to be. And the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, that is exactly what he is doing in Singapore. He's setting things in array in the spirit realm for a mighty, mighty wave of apostolic power, for his glory to be revealed. And before that glory can be revealed through his power, through his authority, moving in warfare, moving, his hand moving on behalf of his people and on behalf of his name, things have to be put in order. Things have to be put in array. And I want to share something with you in the Word of God concerning that. This is a seemingly innocuous verse in the Word of God that would appear to have no relevance whatsoever at first glance. And it was because I was contemplating this that the Lord showed me something concerning this verse and helped me with some insight into his word and how things operate in his will and in his spirit. The verse is found in the book of Acts chapter 15, and the verse is number 34 and 35. We'll read those together. I'll give you time to turn there so that we can read along together. Book of Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse 34 and then also 35. If you have it, say amen. And the word of the Lord tells us, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. The verse I want to capitalize on that seemed so irrelevant, and the question came to my mind reading it one night, why is that even necessary to be included in the Word of God? This verse. However, it seemed good to Silas, who was there with his partner, Judas, to remain there. Why did the Lord not tell us what Judas was thinking? Why would he take time to come upon Luke with unction to write these words? It seemed good to Silas. It just seemed good to him. There wasn't some overwhelming word to Silas to stay. Silas, who was a prophet, said it just seemed good to remain here. Now, some context to what is going on in this scene. Judas and Silas came with many others, and they were sharing what the apostles wrote concerning several things, several topics of great importance. And they were there in Antioch, and they were with the church, and with many words, the Bible tells us that Silas was ministering. He was a prophet of God. He was a very powerful vessel. He was used of God. But Judas went back to Jerusalem, as did some others. But Silas just said, you know what? Just feels good. Just think I need to stay here for a while. And I begin to think about that. Why is that even necessary? And I want to encourage some of you in the Holy Ghost. Do not discount and do not take for granted the days of just doing something because it seemeth good to your spirit. Because it's very, very essential. The Lord teaches us how to respond to his spirit, the leading of his spirit, how to respond to his word, things happening in certain ways, in certain avenues. And Silas was very sensitive to this. This is why this verse was recorded, so that this verse in 40 could also be recorded. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The reason the verse in 34 was written is so that the verse in 40 could have more significance and more meaning. Paul chose Silas. Had Silas not been there, Paul could not have chosen him. It was God's ordained, perfect will for Paul and Silas to be coupled together in an apostolic dream team and to go through the earth ministering and strengthening the churches. In the very next chapter, we find a scene in the Philippian jail that you have heard of often, where Paul and Silas are singing to the Lord, and a great earthquake comes and shakes the entire jail. And this story is renowned worldwide, and millions have heard it. Why? Because Paul and Silas were an apostolic team. But this goes all the way back to verse 34. For had Silas not responded to the word of God, had he not responded to the unction of the Spirit, and just did what seemeth good to him, he would not have been there to be chosen of Paul. And the will of God would have been missed in his life. But he just said, it seems good to stay here. And I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost, do not take for granted the days of just doing what seemeth good in your spirit. The heavens did not part. A hand did not write on his hotel room in Antioch, stay here, do not leave. It wasn't some thundering voice from heaven. It was very simple. He felt an unction and a prompting. I think I need to stay. And because he did, Paul said, you know what? I think I'll take Silas with me on my missionary journey. Silas had no idea that Paul and Barnabas were going to go on a second missionary journey. He had heard the stories. He had heard the great things the Lord did on the first one. He had no idea there was going to be a second. He had no idea that Paul and Barnabas were going to get into a dispute over John Mark, and that they would split, and that Barnabas would take John Mark, and that Paul would need a partner. So then he's scanning the crowd, trying to find out who he'll bring, and the Lord brings him to Silas. And then Silas is chosen, and the perfect will of God is loosed and unlocked in his life. All because, why? It just seemeth good. He did not understand why. He had no idea why the Lord would have him stay a few extra nights in Antioch and not return to Jerusalem. He had no clue. He stumbled into it, and he was a prophet. He heard the voice of God. He had a relationship with the Lord. He had a ministry. He was a powerful vessel. And I want to encourage you, as the Lord is putting things in array in the spirit realm for a live community in the nation of Singapore, do not turn a deaf ear to those utterances and those promptings in the spirit and just doing what seems good to you, because you have no idea the end result of that pathway that you choose to either stay on or walk down. And the Lord is going to lift that fog of confusion that is upon you so that you can see with perfect clarity what the will of God is for your life. I want us to lift our hands together all over the sanctuary for a moment. Lift your hands and cry out unto the Lord for a moment. Jesus, in your name. Lord, we are speaking, mighty God, what you have given us. And I pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that this fog of confusion that is trying to settle and abide upon the minds of your people, I pray, oh God, that it be broken right now in Jesus' name, that that fog would dissipate, that that fog would vanish, that the will of God would be made known, God, that it would be clear, Jesus, in the minds of your vessels, oh God, for their pathway in their life has led them to a divergence. And Jesus, one of them is your will, and several of them are a detour and a distraction. And mighty God, I speak a clarity in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you break confusion right now, that you bind up fear in Jesus' name, and that you loose peace by the authority of the word of God, by the power of the name Jesus. Oh, mighty God, let your will be done, Jesus, in your name. Let them feel that good and perfect utterance of what seemeth good unto your spirit, that they would know, oh mighty God, where to go and the pathway to walk therein. Oh, can you clap your hands unto the Lord all over this house? Jesus, in your name. Praise the Lord. You never know what the Lord will do because of the steps that you have taken today. And do not discount them because you don't have some clarion call or the eastern sky parting to tell you exactly and specifically what to do. You'll get to that moment. But sometimes the Lord just wants to see if we trust him enough. to just do what seemeth good and walk with him. And there's no telling what will be birthed in you or on that pathway that the Lord is leading you down. Because Silas had no clue what he was walking into. He had no idea he was walking into the pages of apostolic history. He had no clue. His friend went back to Jerusalem, never to be heard from again. But he stayed there and ended up walking into the pages of the book of Acts by the prophetic will of God. Just by doing what seemeth good. I want to warn somebody in the Holy Ghost, do not discount the days of just doing what seemeth well to your soul and your spirit and what seemeth good to his spirit. Feel that prompting and utterance. If you feel a check in the spirit, don't walk down that path. But if you feel that it's what seemeth good, I want to encourage you with all your heart, no matter how much faith it takes, no matter how much it may defy conventional wisdom, step out in the Spirit and do what the Lord would have you to do. Because you have no idea what you're walking into. And it will be absolutely wonderful as it was for Paul and Silas. For had he not listened to that, he wouldn't have been there. He would have went back to Jerusalem with Judas and very possibly, very plausibly, never been heard from again. Never to be used of God in the dimension that the Lord wanted him to be used in. And that's a very serious thing. That's a very weighty matter. And nothing is more important than finding the will of God for your life. For if we miss it, if we, as Esau did, sell our birthright, sell what we were born to do, for materialistic gain or for the convenience of a moment, we will regret it for the rest of our lives. The Bible tells us that Esau sought what he lost diligently with tears and never found it. And if we turn from the things of God, if we turn from the pathway he wants us to walk in, there are very, very dire consequences to not heeding the voice of the Lord. And if we miss his will and we miss the doors that he has opened, we intentionally miss them. We intentionally disregard them. We may be walking through this earth seeking to find the reconciliation of that with tears and never find it. And that's a very serious, serious thing. The hand of God is on so many people in this church. And the Lord is going to use you in end-time revival in a way that absolutely blows your mind. I promise you that. I know we're not hyped up right now. It's not all emotional. I'm just speaking to you what the Spirit is speaking to me. Things are being aligned in the spirit realm because you are a very, very key. You're very, very key in the end time revival that the Lord would pour out upon this region of Asia. Out of Singapore will come many, many, many vessels that are used in the end time in this region of Asia. Out of this church, you'll be sent out into this region. This is a hub of apostolic ministry for this region. You have the financial affluence, you have the intellect, you have the anointing, you have the walk with God, and God is going to use you to affect this entire region. It is not just for Singapore. What God is doing in this church is greater than just this locality. It spreads out into this entire region of Asia. And that is so incredibly powerful. If you receive that, I want you to lift your hands into the Lord just one more time. Jesus, let your word settle upon us, O God. Let your word take root. Let it produce fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word go forth, Almighty God. Jesus, in your name, let your word settle. Let the seeds, O God, you are sowing in the Spirit, settle, Almighty God, upon those that hear your voice. Jesus in your name. Jesus in your name. I want to share with you a text tonight in the Gospel of John chapter 14 and also read a scripture in John 15. The first one is John 14 and verse 12 and then flipping over to John 15 beginning with verse number 12 as well. John 14 and 12. I just want to share some things with you that the Lord has put in my spirit concerning the power of his love and the power of divine supernatural love, not brotherly love, not human love, but divine supernatural love. John chapter 14, beginning with verse number 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works, say greater works. Greater works than these he will do, say will do. Because I go to my Father. Now flipping over to verse 15, picking up chapter 15, sorry, verse number 12. The word of the Lord tells us, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a deep love. That's not superficial. He said, love one another like I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on this topic. Greater love and greater works. Greater love and greater works. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's stand all over the sanctuary and let's go before the Lord before we go any further in this service. Let's ask his hand to be upon us, his spirit with us. Jesus, in your mighty and holy name, we ask you, O God, to anoint us with unction, O God, right now, that we could speak, O God, of and by the unction of your Spirit for the glory of your name and the edification, O God, of your people. Let us speak by unction and unction alone. Let every syllable that is uttered be uttered for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. O mighty God, let no flesh glory in the presence of the King. Let no foul spirit glory in the presence of our King. But Jesus, loose in this house a sovereign wave of supernatural authority. Jesus, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, O God. Loose revelation, loose understanding as never before. And let us find you in a new way. Almighty God, loose the power of your love. Let it collide tonight with the gift of faith and the faith of the people. Let the love of God be loosed in this house. Oh God, let us love you as you have loved us. And let us love one another, oh God, as you loved us. Jesus, in your name, help us to see a new dimension of your love. Help us, Lord Jesus, to turn to you and give ourselves to you entirely. To lay down our lives, oh God, for you, that we can enter into a dimension of no greater love than this, so that greater works can begin to flow through the vessels of the Most High and Living God. Jesus, in this country, shake this country. Shake, oh God, the spirit realm, and shake us, your vessels. Oh God, align us with your word in this house tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, can you clap your hands to the Lord one more time? Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you. My wife, my supermodel wife, and I don't apologize for being married to a supermodel, wanted me to greet all of you. And my son Zion, my five-year-old, very, very much wants to come with Daddy to Singapore. He always asks me about Singapore, and he really he wants to come. So hopefully the next time I come, I'll be able to raise some money for his ticket. He can come with me. So I know he would love to meet you, and you guys would love him. But my wife did want me to greet you, and she is praying for you, and she is praying for our time together. I want to speak to you tonight about greater love and greater works. This is something that the Lord has been dealing with me about specifically for some time now. And the love of God is such a powerful thing. It really is. It's not a superficial phileo, brother to brother, sister to sister thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about kindness. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about agape, a deeper type of love. It's supernatural. It looses things that even faith cannot loose. Love is so incredibly powerful. Love is what kept him on the cross. Love is what caused him to robe himself in flesh. Love is where mercy flows. Love is where miracles flow. And it wasn't long ago that the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, everywhere you go, I want you to pray that my love is loosed upon the people, that my love is loosed amongst them, sister to sister, brother to brother, and that my love is loosed in their midst, in the service. Because the Lord showed me something. Love is the only attribute. It's infinitely multidimensional, but love is the only attribute that encompasses every single thing God does. In love is correction, for he chastens those in whom he loves. In love is mercy. In love is grace. In God's love is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In God's love is healing. In God's love are miracles. In God's love is our devotion that we talked about Wednesday to him. Our dedication, our spiritual disciplines, if we love him as he loved us, these things will be an automatic and voluntary response in our life. They will become core values in our life. His love is so incredibly powerful. And in Jakarta, just a few weeks ago, we were praying for people. It was a great move of God on Friday night. The Lord was sustaining me because I had absolutely zero energy. And I was so worried and concerned that I would not even be able to put one coherent sentence together by the time that I got there to the church because I was so very tired. And the Lord just, his spirit came upon me, just this energy, divine energy. It was amazing to feel him sustaining me. I'd been up for 3 days. You know, it was just amazing that his energy was just holding me together. That I could even have a rational thought was amazing at that point. And we're praying for several people, you know, at the end of the service. And we were praying for one particular guy, Pastor Bobby. I'm sure you remember him. He couldn't walk very well. He had had a stroke. He was 29 or 30, very, very young. And part of his head, part of his scalp or his skeletal structure there and his cranium was missing. And it was very sad what had happened to this man. We began to pray for him, and I fully expected, I'll be honest with you, I fully expected him to just jump up and run around. Because I was in America not long ago, and there was a young man there who had never walked a day in his life. And he was on a walker, couldn't walk without the use of the walker, and the doctors told him, you'll never walk. His name was Jamarcus, who's a very inspiring young man. And in the middle of the worship service with nobody doing anything, I mean, it was as dead as a hammer, seriously. There was nobody moving. I was very discouraged because I was about to have to preach to these people, and they were just kind of just sitting there with their arms folded. And all of a sudden, Jamarcus starts making laps around the church with his walker. Just barely getting around. He could barely move. It was very painful. You could tell that it was causing him great pain to do this. And he took 3 or 4 laps around the church. And I could see people, you could read it in their minds. You could read it, just feel it. I could see people saying, I wish he would just sit down because he's making them uncomfortable. Because here is a man, a young man, that has a physical disability, and he's out worshiping every single person in the sanctuary. So they felt uncomfortable. They felt embarrassed. They felt convicted. And I could feel it. I could feel it in them. I could discern it in their minds. I wish he would just sit down. He's a distraction. The Lord wants us to see something tonight about the power of his love operating in our spirit and in our life. There's a story, and we talked about Peter Wednesday. And I'm not going to rehash any of that. But there's a story at the end of John. And John's account of what happened to Peter in those last days, from denying and cursing at the campfire to preaching Pentecost to this moment at the very end and the very last portion of his gospel. His account is so powerful because he was there with Peter. They were very close. They were very good friends. They were often together. It was Peter and John that were on their way. And the lame man was at the gate, beautiful, and cried out. And Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have. Look at me. How could I? But such as I do have, give I thee. Peter and John were together. They were often together. and they were together in some of Peter's lowest moments. And they were also together when Peter was restored so powerfully and so mightily by the hand of God. And I want to share something for you. First of all, we need to look at the preface, the things that where this all really began. When Peter made some bold declarations to the Lord, and the Lord just kind of looked at him like, really? I don't think that's going to be possible. But Peter was telling the Lord that he would die for him, that he would lay down his life for him. And the Lord said, Peter, no, you can't do that yet. He said, you're not yet there. And the scripture and the verses at the very end of John really, really embody this. For we find Peter and the Lord Jesus in a conversation together. And this conversation really takes on a new light when you look up the original. Now, I understand the original is not Greek. I understand that this conversation took place in Hebrew, not in Greek. But in this conversation between Jesus and Peter, if you look up the Greek words that they are using, it really gives some very powerful insight into the dimension and power of the love of God he wants us to operate in. A threefold denial mandates a threefold affirmation. We understand that. We understand that's why Jesus asked him three times. But in that response, there is more going on there than what is evident in the English text. And I also understand that there are critics that say agape and phileo to the Greeks didn't mean what some of us think it means. But this conversation did not take place in its original version in Greek. It took place in Hebrew. And the Lord was clearly referring to a deeper love than what Peter was demonstrating. But in the conversation, Jesus asked Peter this, Peter, do you agape me? I'll use the original. And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. Jesus said, no, I don't think you heard me. Do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. Now, phileo is brotherly love, one to another, which is good. It's positive, but it's not even close to the depth that agape love births. And Jesus was telling him, I want you to agape me as I have agaped you. I want you to love me as I have loved you. That was the commandment in the text in John 15 that we read. A new commandment I give you. Love each other like I loved you. In other words, you love each other in phileo right now. Brotherly love, camaraderie, disciple to disciple. But I want you to enter into a dimension where you love each other like I loved you unconditionally. I want you to love each other with the depth of my love. And Jesus was saying, I want you to love me at this depth. And Peter was replying, but you know I love you. But it was a total different depth. And finally, the last time, Jesus says, Peter, so you phileo me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. So Jesus twice said, I want you in agape, not phileo. And then at the end, he finally conceded and said, okay, Peter, you phileo, that's fine. And then he said, I want you to come with me. And Peter said, what about this man? Speaking to John, he said, what if I want this man to stay here until I come back and never die? What is that to you? You follow me. He said, when you were young, you girded yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. He said, but when you are old, another will gird you and will take you where you're not willing and able to go right now. And earlier in the text, the Lord talked about, where I'm going, you cannot come right now. Jesus and Peter said, Jesus, why? I'll go with you anywhere. I'll go with you to the death. And Jesus replied, no, you're not yet able to go there yet. And then at the end in 21, in the conversation face to face with Peter, the Lord is not just talking about clothing, girding him. He said, Peter, when you're young right now, early stage of your discipleship, before the power of the Holy Ghost comes on you and you're transformed from a coward to an apostolic apostle with authority and power, right now in your younger stage, you're girded with phileo for me. And you can just kind of go and do whatever you want. But you're going to be able to die for me one day when another girds you. He's referencing the implied statement is there's a deeper love for me that is going to come upon you, and that depth of love is going to take you to the place where you will lay down your life for me. But right now, you can't do it because you don't love me like you need to. You're in a shallower depth of love. You're in the earlier discipleship dimension of love. But there's a deep love that's going to come upon you. And when that girds you, it's going to lead you and take you where you don't want to go. It's going to lead you and take you to your prophetic future, where eventually you will lay down your life for me. And you will do mighty and greater works for me. You see, everything that the Lord Jesus did while he was in flesh was a perfect paragon to be emulated by us. It was a perfect example. One of the things the Lord was wanting us to understand and wanting us to see was we have to get our human flesh out of the way. It must be sacrificed. Its urges must be suppressed to the point of silence so that we can be led of the Spirit. For God was in flesh and all God in the same vessel. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. And what he was wanting us to see is it is possible for a fleshly vessel to be completely surrendered to the power and Spirit of God and to not be led aside by the flesh, to not fall, to not sin, and to speak expressly what the Spirit says, to do what you see the Spirit do, and to speak not of your authority, but of the authority of the Spirit. For it was the Spirit that gave that body life when it overshadowed Mary. And what he was wanting us to understand is that you can operate in perfect synchronization with my Spirit. It's possible. The Lord was showing us this. He wanted us to walk in a dimension where the flesh, the human spirit, could be conquered, that it could be tamed, it could be suppressed by the Spirit of God, so that he could operate and we could operate in complete submission, and the will of God could move and flow unencumbered without disturbance and interference from the fleshly realm and dimension. Human flesh and God's glory are mutually exclusive. They do not occupy the same space at the same time. Let no flesh glory in the presence of the Lord. He's very serious about his glory. He will not share it with another. He should, and he never will. So if flesh is in the way, if flesh is prominent, then the glory of God is minimized. But if flesh is sacrificed, then the glory of God is maximized. Glory, his glory fills the house. When we see him and speak him high and lifted up, his train, his glory fills the temple. We have to get the flesh out of the way so that the Lord can move unencumbered and move with liberty. We have to suppress those primal Adamic urges that come into our mind and try to dictate what we do. And that's a process. It's not instant. All of us are still working on that. All of us trying to fine-tune that ability to suppress the flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. The Lord spoke to me not long ago and told me something that absolutely scared me half to death. It truly did. I was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, I am getting ready, and I want you to tell my people this, I am getting ready to write Ichabod on some of the vessels in my kingdom. That's scary, my friend. He said, I'm not going to write it on my church. It'll never be written on my church. But on some vessels in my kingdom, I'm about to label them Ichabod, which literally means no glory. No glory here. And that absolutely shook me. He said, I want you to tell some the churches this in America, I'm getting ready to write Ichabod upon them because there's too much flesh there. And where there is flesh, there can be no glory. And I'm wanting to use them for my glory, but they refuse to get their flesh out of the way. So I'm going to have to label them, no glory could be found here. God's glory could not flow here. The will of God could not flow through them unfettered. Because being used in the kingdom of God is not about talent, and it's not about ability. It's about transferability. He wants to use the vessels that will allow his spirit to flow through us unencumbered, without tainting and poisoning and tincturing the message he gives us. He's looking for transferable vessels, not the most talented vessels, for oftentimes, sadly, the most talented vessels are the most prideful vessels, for they have taken on the nature of who has become their father, the enemy, who was found in heaven to be in sin when pride was found in him. The Lord's not looking for talent. The Lord's not looking for genius level IQs. He's looking for vessels that will get their flesh out of the way, submit themselves to him, consecrate themselves to him so that he can flow through them. And his word will not get maligned by the flesh. He's looking for those type of vessels. Now that leads us to this. Greater works than these. How is that even possible? I have had that thought more than once. Lord Jesus, how is it possible for anyone to do greater works than you did? Do you know anybody that has been used to do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ? I personally do not. It's a seemingly unattainable dimension. But here's why we have to get there. Because humanity did not set that goal. Jesus did. Humanity did not say, I want to do greater works than the Lord Jesus did. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You would think they were certifiably insane. You would certainly question their character. It did not originate. It was not initiated by flesh. Jesus said, greater works than these you will do, not might do, not can do. Greater works than these you will do. Those were his words. But it's only attainable. I was reading this and I thought, how in the world could anyone be used to do greater works? But it's my desire to reach that dimension, not because I want it for myself, but because that's where he wants us to be. And when I read that the other night, I was in bed reading the Bible. I read that verse and I began to cry. And I said, Lord, help me to get myself out of the way so that you can use us like you want to use us. That was the Lord Jesus's prophesied, spoken desire. He wants to use us in greater works than even he did. That was his desire. That is his will for his church. Is anybody hearing me tonight? It's not where I want to be. It's where he wants me to be. That's why we need to get there. Because it's God's will for his church to operate in that type of dimension. And that absolutely shook me. How can we get to the dimension where we can enter into greater works? And the answer came one chapter later. Greater love. It's the only way. God defined it for us. He said, greater love, and I love the way the Lord spelled this out. He trapped us. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And then what does he say in the very next verse? He says, by the way, you're my friends. In other words, I just told you how to get to the dimension of greater love and greater works. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. In other words, if you want to enter into that dimension of greater works I was talking about one chapter ago, you're going to have to do it with greater love. And what is the access point for greater love? You have to lay down your life for your friends. And he called us friends. He gave us the definition. He gave us the job description for being able to be called a friend of God. We have to lay down our life for him. Obviously, I'm not just talking about fatally. I'm not just speaking about going out and getting yourself killed with reckless abandon. It's not what I'm referring to. He's talking about laying down your flesh, laying down your life, laying down your desires, and learning to give yourself to him completely, implicitly, holding nothing back. That's how we get to that dimension. Greater love is the only possible way
into it is the only entry point. We must get there through greater love. It's exactly how Peter was able to walk through the streets and the sick would be laid in his path so that maybe his shadow would pass over them and they would be healed. Now that is a deep dimension of being used by God. When Peter walked past people and his shadow passed them, he didn't speak to them. He did not touch them. He didn't pray for them. He didn't speak the word of faith. His shadow passed over them. And the love of God collided with their faith. And they were healed. And Peter probably never even knew about it. He was just walking. How did he get there? How was he able to access that deep of a dimension of walking with the Lord? How was he able to live in that great a depth of supernatural power and ability with the Lord? Greater love. Finally, agape got a hold of him. As the Lord Jesus told him it would. He said, right now, you're too young. Hasn't happened yet. And you can just go wherever you want. But there's coming a day when you're going to be girded with something greater that takes you to a place you're not willing to go right now. And it's agape that'll get you there. When you love me like I loved you, and when you love others like I loved you, that is a dimension that births something so powerful and so great. And that's the only way greater works can ever come into being in the church of the living God. And I want you to remember, in the closing moments of our time together today, I want you to remember this. The Lord did not say, by signs and wonders will all men know you are my disciples. He didn't say by speaking in tongues, although we have to speak in tongues to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the sign, it's the unction, it's the utterance. That's not what he said. He said, it's not because of how you look. He said, people are going to know you're my disciples when you have love one for another. That was the definitive, defining attribute of his disciples that the Lord Jesus himself spoke into existence. He said, this is how you're going to know when you have love one for another. Obviously, he's not talking about just the shallow dimension of brotherly love. As wonderful as that is not the only thing he was referring to. So when you have love, when you have agape one for another, when you love your brother like I loved you, it wasn't signs, it wasn't wonders. And in closing tonight, I want to share something with you that the Lord gave me in the hotel this morning in prayer. John chapter 2, if you want to turn there. John 2 and verse 23. John chapter 2 and verse 23. This is what the word tells us. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. But he saw people that began to follow him. Why? Because of the signs. And the word of God tells us Jesus did not commit himself to them. Jesus does not commit himself to sign and statistic seekers. He commits himself to people that are seeking his face, not just what he can do for us, not just his hand, but he commits himself to people that are seeking his face, not signs. He wants his end time church to seek him. You see, signs follow those that believe. So signs are never to be sought. Signs are to trail behind you. That's the location. Because if I am seeking signs, then I'm going the opposite direction of the Lord. Because signs follow the word. He confirms his word. He is the word, manifested flesh. He confirms his word with signs following. So if I am seeking him, then signs will follow me. If I am seeking signs, I put my face toward the signs, the statistics, the glamour, the notoriety, and I've turned my back on the Savior. But if I am seeking his face, then the signs of his power and his glory and his love will trail behind those that are truly his disciples. And the Lord showed me this and wanted me to speak to you tonight and tell you, seek the Savior and signs will follow you. If you seek the signs, you're going in the wrong direction. But the Lord is setting things in array in the spirit realm for a mighty outpouring of his Spirit in this church and in this nation. And I want to warn you, do not be caught up in seeking the signs of the demonstration of the power of God, but seek his face. Seek him. Seek a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is where the true power is, in those that are walking in intimacy with him. That is where we get deep apostolic authority and power. That is how we live in the realm of the supernatural. That is how we can ever enter into the dimension of greater works. When we love him with greater love, when we give ourselves to him completely with zero reservation, holding nothing back, this is where that dimension of power and apostolic wonder will fill our sanctuaries, when we are seeking him and we are not seeking signs. That is where the apostolic authority and power is. John the Baptist is one of the greatest vessels of the Lord to ever live and to ever walk. The Lord Jesus himself said, though of everyone born among women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. I'm pretty sure that statement covers everybody that's ever lived. Of anyone born of woman, I think we can all fit into that category. I'm relatively sure. I'm not sure about Cliff, but I'm pretty sure for most of us. Most of us have a mother. Most of us came from a mother. But to say those statements of anyone born of all, born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. You think about that for a moment. What a great vessel of the Most High. And you think about how it ended. Not because of the times, but with becoming a martyr, laying his life down and dying for the name of Jesus. You think about the lessons in that man's life. It was not about wealth. It was not about prosperity. It was not about notoriety. It was not about fame. It was about obedience, submission, humility, and speaking exactly what the Lord God gave him to speak. He was a mighty man of God, and he spent, the Bible tells us in Luke, John spent all of his days, the Word of God tells us, until his time that the Lord manifested him to the world, he spent all of his days in the desert, in solitude. He spent a lifetime of preparation in solitude and in silence for a 6-month ministry that would turn the world upside down and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about the power of that. It's absolutely astounding. John knew he wasn't that light, but he was to point out that light, because John understood the relevance and the necessity and essentiality of being a vessel of the Most High. See, the problem is so many people start to think they are that light. That's what Lucifer thought. He started thinking the light flowing through him, as the power of God would flow through him and refract off of the jewels in his body that the Lord put there and illuminate the entire heavens, absolute beauty, absolute radiance. He began to think the light flowing through him was originating and emanating from him. And he sought to, with pride, become like unto the Most High. An impossible task. He started thinking that light that he was bearing witness of was his and his own. And that's when sin was found in him. But John the Baptist knew, I'm not that light. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. He was before me. He's preferred before me because he was before me. He understood, I'm not the light. I'm the vessel. A diamond is at the epitome of brilliance when light is hitting it and shining through it and refracting outward and dancing brilliantly all over the room. Without that light and total darkness, a diamond is nothing. When the light hits it, when the light shines through it, it achieves its purpose. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's awe-inspiring. Vessels of the Most High are the same thing. Without his light, we're absolutely nothing. And we are to refract and reflect everything back to him. And we're not to seek signs. We're to seek his face. And the Lord is seeking vessels in the end time apostolic church that will seek him for him. Not for what he can do for me, but I want him for him. I want him to know him. Not for what he can do for me. I want him to have a relationship with him. To walk with him. That is greater love. When you love him as he loved us. When you will give yourself to him completely. Holding nothing back. At that point, it just becomes about our relationship. It's not about a reputation. It's not about prosperity. It's about a relationship with the Most High. Can we stand all over this place tonight in the closing moments? Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? Musicians, if you could come and just play quietly in the background. Can you lift your hands unto the Lord right now? The Lord Jesus wants to speak to us. The Lord God wants us to see that he wants us to love him with the greater love. He wants us to give our lives unto him. Jesus, in your name, Almighty God, sweep into this house with sovereignty, O God, and power. Take us into the depths of your spirit that you desire, O God, for us to enter in. Jesus, in your name, use us, O God, as you desire to use us. Help us to get our flesh on the altar. Help us to get our flesh out of the way, O God, so that you can use us in power, God, in your authority, for your glory and the edification of those you send us to. Mighty God, we speak not tonight. O God, in our own authority, we bear not witness of ourselves, for if we do, our witness is not true. But we speak in the authority of the one who sent us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, immortal, eternal, and invisible, the only wise and living God. Jesus, in your name, flood this sanctuary with sovereignty and power. Somebody cry out to him right now. The Lord God wants to break that confusion and that heaviness that is upon you. Give yourself to him. Yield yourself to his spirit. He wants to take you to a new dimension. Jesus, in your name. That's it, church. Cry out to him. Let's tarry for a moment in his presence. Let's tarry for a moment and seek his face. Jesus, we've got to have you, mighty God. We worship you in this house. Speak to your people, O God. That's it. These altars are open to anybody that would like to come and kneel before the Most High. Make a step of faith tonight. Step out and see what the Lord would speak unto you. Mighty God in heaven, we ask you to fill this house, O God, by your power and spirit. Jesus, in your name, flood this sanctuary, O God. Let your glory fill this house. By the authority of your word, God, and by the power of your name, let your spirit, Almighty God of heaven, fill this house tonight. Jesus, thank you.